Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 12. Try not to be too long tonight. We got a business meeting tonight. Did you announce that, Brother David?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. I'm just picking at you, Brother David. Amen. I am. Brother Johnny's second, he's second guessing it now whether he wants to have any part of this or not. Amen. I appreciate the help. I really do. I'll tell you this, and many of you probably already know it, but Brother Brian and Sister Kim they're just a great asset to our church and to this pastor. A great asset, and I appreciate them so very much. Nehemiah chapter 12, and what in the world am I looking at here? I have messed something up. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm in chapter 13. We're good. I couldn't get anything to line up. You ever do that, Brother Johnny? Stand up. Sometimes you're either off a chapter or off a verse or something or off a book. But anyway, I'm all right now. Nehemiah chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse number 26. The Bible said these were in the days of Joachim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Josadak, in the days of Nehemiah the governor, and of Ezra the priest, the scribe. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places, to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of,
you can see it. Do your best. Also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hoshiah and half of the princes of Judah, and Azariah and Ezra and Meshullam and Judah and Benjamin and Shemaiah and Jeremiah, and certain of the priests' sons with trumpets, namely Zechariah the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zachor, the son of Asaph, and his brethren. And let's drop down to verse number 37. At the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall above the house of David, even under the water gate eastward. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and half the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of the furnaces even unto the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and half of the rulers with me, and the priest Eliakim and Messiah and Miniamin and Micaiah and Elani and Zechariah and Hanani with trumpets, Nasiah and Shemaiah and Eliezer, and Uzi, and Jehonanan, and boy, I tell you, them names are something, aren't they? Malchijah, y'all laughing at me or with me? And Elam and Eser, and the singers sang loud, and Ralph sang louder than all of them, amen. Jezariah, their overseer. Hey, you know what? I did put that in my notes. I forgot that's where the overseer was. I put Ralph Roberts, that's who the overseer of the singers was, amen. And a little bit easier to say, too. And that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. And the wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Well, what I want to pick up on tonight, the Lord being my helper, is the thought of great joy. We began in the book of Nehemiah a little while back, I don't know how long ago, several weeks ago, I guess, thinking about the little phrase where the president used for a slogan, Make America Great Again, and the parallels through the book of Nehemiah were just too many to ignore. And I'm not going to go back and review tonight for the sake of time. It's already getting on towards 8 o'clock. But what I want to do tonight is finish up with this thought of great joy. Now, I just want to say tonight, to me, you can call me, oh, you have little faith, whatever you want to do. It looks to me like the greatest days of America's joy are behind her. All you see is division. All you see is scandal. It's amazing what you see. But here's what I want to say. I'm going to finish with an illustration tonight, God being my helper. But that doesn't mean that you and I cannot have great joy in the midst of it all. God has a remnant, and God's remnant ought to be focusing not on the mess, but on the Messiah. Amen. We ought to be not looking for somebody to save our country. We ought to be looking for somebody to take us out of this world that we live in. We ought to be looking for the Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for these examples that you've given us in the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you will just meet with us in a special way. Touch us, our Father, tonight, that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look at three simple thoughts tonight. The first thing I want to look at tonight is the reason for this great joy. The second thing I want to look at tonight is the revelation of this great joy in these verses that I've given you. And then the last thing I want to look at is the reach of this great joy. And I believe it's important. In this day, all of the people of God were not even involved in the work that was going on in Jerusalem. Some chose to stay in their comfort zone, but some, under the leadership of Nehemiah, chose to go back to Jerusalem, chose to restore the walls that were torn down, chose to set in order the gates that had been set on fire. And in this day, in the remnant's life, is a day of great joy and great rejoicing. The Word of God said there, if you look at verse 43, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. And I love this little phrase, the wives also and the children rejoiced. I just thought about this. I'm not trying to be mean in any way whatsoever. But generally speaking, to see somebody really rejoice, you almost have to go back a generation or two. When's the last time God got a hold of a teenager in your presence and they just went to rejoicing in the Lord? When's the last time God got a hold of a child in your presence? I'm not saying that tonight to be mean, but I'm telling you, what are the future generations going to do if there's not some rejoicing going on today in the good things of God? Amen. And listen to me, I'm not trying to be mean again, but maybe there'd be more rejoicing among them if they saw more rejoicing in mom and dad. They saw more rejoicing in mamma and papa. They saw more rejoicing at the house of God. Amen. I believe tonight, we ought to pray and we ought to request prayer. I believe at times our heart ought to be heavy. Amen. With the load that we carry. But I believe we ought to rejoice because there's a God in heaven that said, listen, the disciples went out, Jesus gave them power, they came back and said, the spirits are subject unto us. Jesus said, howbeit in this rejoice not. He said, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And if your name's written in heaven tonight, you've got a, my friend, license from God Almighty to rejoice in the good things of God. The Bible talking about a reason here to rejoice. First of all, the wall of Jerusalem. The wall was completed. And listen, I think tonight, listen, if it's a carpenter, he's building a house. My friend, if it's somebody that just fixing a piece of furniture, whatever it is, if it's a woman just fixing a big meal for her family, whatever it is, there ought to be rejoicing and seeing something completed. And I'll tell you, you say, preacher, do you think they were happy because the wall was completed? No, I know they were. They were rejoicing with great joy, the Word of God said. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with us. Let me tell you something. We're living in the generation, I believe with all of my heart, the last one's going to be born again. The church of Jesus Christ, the bride will be complete. And honey, when it's complete, we're going out of here. Amen. Every time God saves one, he puts them in the wall. There's living stones. Amen. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation. He's building a work. And he's fixing to complete the work. Amen. I believe in our generation, there's reason for great joy. The wall of Jerusalem was completed. And then you see the people of Jerusalem were consecrated. Look here in verse number 30. The Bible said, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves, purified the people and the gates and the wall. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. Listen, I can speak for myself. I can speak for any born-again believer. You let sin creep into your life and the rejoicing will creep out. Help me. I'm telling you, beloved, there's great rejoicing going on here in this chapter because, listen, the people have been consecrated. They've been set aside. And, my friend, listen, they've made themselves. You say, preacher, how'd they make themselves pure? Well, go back a little bit. They read in the book of the law 1/4 part of the day. They confessed their sins 1/4 part of the day. And, honey, they're in a good place now to worship. They're in a good place to rejoice in the good things of God. So there's a reason for this great joy. And then the people of Jerusalem celebrated. I'm telling you, they were having a celebration. I've told my wife this. Listen, I understand. Listen, there's that physical aspect. Something happens to me tonight. Miss Eve's heart, to some degree, will be broken. But I told her, listen, I hope to have revival at the funeral. I hope people will celebrate. Amen. Celebrate. Listen, celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. Celebrate the fact, amen, that we don't have to wonder where he is, but we know we can go be with him one day after a while. Celebrate the good things of God. That's what they're doing in the remainder of this chapter. How is it revealed? Look at the revelation of this great joy. Boy, I hope this will bless your heart tonight. It did mine. Number one, it's revealed in their singing. Now listen to me tonight. I'm going somewhere when I get down to this last verse here that I read a while ago. The Word of God said they could hear it afar off. Now listen, when I go through the crowd on any given Sunday morning, catching up, my hands shaking, I'm telling you there ain't but about a third of the people in this building singing, Brother Ralph. If a third sounds that good, Brother Ralph, what would happen if 3/3 of the people were making a joyful noise unto the Lord? They might hear it out there on Packing House Road. They might hear it back here somewhere. Amen. I just believe, listen, these people were not going at it half-hearted. They wasn't just waiting for the song service to get over with. I'm going to show you in the Bible over and over and over. Right here in these few verses, they were singing. They were singing. They were singing. You see, some people put too much emphasis on singing. I'm afraid, thank God, listen, we haven't put enough on singing to the Lord. Amen. The Bible said, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's look at this. Look at verse 27. The Bible said dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving. What's it say then? And with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harp. Look at verse 28. The sons of the singers gathered themselves together. Look at verse 29. The singers had builded them villages. I'm just showing you here in the Word of God tonight. It's important. If you go down to verse number 42, the Word of God said, and the singers sang. What's that next verse? What's that next word? How'd they sing? They let her rip. Somebody said, you know, Brother Ralph, I heard years ago they had them choir teachers to come in and taught singing and taught them how to read shape notes. Am I right about that? Shape notes. And anyway, I used to go to prison. I said, "Do you know how to read them notes?" And my boy say, "No, do you?" I said, "No, I sing open letter." They said, "What's that?" I said, "That's open your mouth and let her fly." That's the way I sing. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe time the Holy Ghost gets done with that. If it's from the heart, it's just right in tune with the throne of God, don't you? Amen. I believe the Bible said here they sang aloud. And the Bible said there that Jezreiah, Brother Ralph Roberts, was their overseer. The Bible said in verse number 45, and both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God. In verse number 46, the Bible said, in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were the chief of the singers and the songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. Listen, I'm not fussing at us tonight, but I'll tell you what I believe. I believe we ought to let her rip. I believe we ought to sing unto the Lord. I believe it's important. Listen, I believe it helped get a hold of some sinner's heart. I believe it helped get a hold of some saint of God's heart that's cold, indifferent towards the things of God. They might just stand there and say, "What are these people singing about?" Amen. And they might want to get in on it themselves. Amen. So we see the revelation of this great joy. It was revealed in their singing. Secondly, it was revealed in their giving. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Look at verse 43. The Bible said, and that day, they offered great sacrifices. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" What that means is they brought what God required them to bring. They didn't bring it by somebody pointing a pistol at them or a rifle at them or a bow and arrow at them. Amen. But they brought these great sacrifices because they loved God. Their hearts were right with God. Their hearts were in tune with God. And you show me a believer, beloved, that's in tune with God, and he's a given believer. Amen. He wants to give back because God has given so much to him. Amen. It's revealed in their singing. It's revealed their great joy is revealed in their giving. But then it's revealed in their thanksgiving. Let me just say this to you tonight. Maybe you've never noticed this, but as a pastor, I've noticed this. There's two things that will really cause the Holy Spirit to show up and show out among God's people. One is, I've seen this in conferences with the Rock of Ages, the missionaries. We didn't have a lot. Some of us were just trying to get our support together. It wasn't like a bunch of rich people was meeting in a conference, amen. But I've seen God raise $85, $90, $100,000 in a meeting among 130 or 40 missionaries, and some of them didn't even have 10% of their support. But you say, "Preacher, what did you notice about meetings like that?" I'm going to tell you what. God came down. Amen. When people listen or willing to obey the Lord, they didn't have to be pumped. They didn't have to be primed. The need was put out there. And thank God the blessed Holy Spirit got a hold of our hearts and the need was met. And that's where God shows up. Amen. When there's that spirit, not of selfishness, but that spirit of giving. And then another time, you watch it when people start thanking the Lord. Beloved, listen, some testimony services, you know I'm telling the truth, you'd wonder if God was still even alive. Amen? And when people get up and come, I've not experienced that around here, but you've been in them where they're just complaining about this and complaining about this and, "Oh, it's so dark and it's so dreary." But you let people get up and start thanking God. You let somebody that's walking in that valley, you know they're walking in that valley, but they stand up and they don't talk about their valley. They don't talk about their dark place, but they talk about the God that's lighting their valley. They talk about the lily that's in their valley. They talk about the love that they found in that valley. And beloved, God shows up in a thanksgiving service like that. When people are thanking the Lord, there's the revelation. It's revealed in their singing. It's revealed in their giving. It's revealed in their thanksgiving. But let me give you this. The Lord spoke to my heart right here. How many remembers when we studied in chapter 3 about those gates? Brother Brian, he's not here tonight. Brother Henry, I walked back there that night. I felt like I just went. It was a Sunday night. I felt like I went way over time. I just got caught up in them 10 gates. Right back there in front of Brother Henry's where Brother Brian said, I was talking to him in the aisle. I said, Brother, I just let it go too long tonight. He said, what are you talking about, Pastor? He said, I was sitting there wishing there's 10 more gates. Do you know how that blesses a preacher's heart? That's what he said. He said, I was sitting there wishing there was 10 more gates. What a blessing that is, amen. You remember we were back there in chapter number 3. We said, Preacher, what do you not mean, revealed in their living? Well, there's several gates right here that's mentioned. Look at verse number 31. First of all, the dung gate is mentioned. How many remembers what the dung gate represented in Jerusalem? That's where the waste was carried out. Remember? The refuse. That's where the garbage was carried out and the sewage and stuff like that went out of that gate. And that's where they got rid of the unnecessary. You say, Preacher, why are these people rejoicing the way they are? I tell you, because they're willing. My friend, that gate represents something. They're willing to get rid of the unnecessary in their life that they might get their eyes on the Lord. Brother Brian brought a lesson not too long ago about laying aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Sometimes there's not great rejoicing because there's not a great working together with the Holy Spirit to get out what needs to be gotten out of our lives. Anybody with me tonight? Amen. So the dung gate represents their living. You go on and down in verse number 37. I don't think it's any coincidence. You find the fountain gate. That's that gate speaks of the Holy Spirit. That out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then the Bible talked about the water gate in that same verse eastward. You say, Preacher, what are those gates? Why are you talking about their living? I don't think it's any accident that these things are represented here in this chapter where there's great joy. That water gate speaks of the Word of God. There'll never be great joy unless the Word of God has its place in our heart and in our life. And if you go on down, it speaks about the old gate. You remember, seek out the old path. It speaks about the fish gate. Listen, I don't even know the woman down there in Texas, but it just seemed to me like with the attitude that she had, surely she's a Christian. And I just want Brother Brian to find out for me, amen, if she knows the Lord. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, God's got youngins all over the place, but they're sinners all over the place. And we need to be fishing, and we'd be happier in Jesus if we were aware that there's fishing to be done for the Lord. And then you see the sheep gate. The Bible talked about the sheep gate in the latter part of verse number 39. And that, my friend, is just speaking of the privilege to be a child of God. Like I said a moment ago, listen, we should never get over the fact that He included us in His family. He included us in His bride. He let us be born again. And now when He comes, we won't be found as a goat, but we'll be found as a sheep. We'll be found as one of His own. And that's a blessing that ought to bring about great joy so that it was revealed in their living. If you go with me tonight and over to verse number 43, let's look at the reach of this great joy. And we'll close out tonight. The Bible said also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. Let me just say this. If God's not in it, how many understands what I just said? If God's not in it, it's just some kind of fleshly show. But if God's in it, the Bible said it was God that made them to rejoice with great joy. I appreciate that, don't you? The Bible said here, the wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Don't you reckon people standing miles and miles? See, everywhere you went to Jerusalem, you had to go up. It didn't matter if you were approaching from the north or the south or the east or the west. You went up to Jerusalem. Beloved, these people are up there rejoicing in the good things of God. Now listen, not only are they up, but they're up on the wall. If you look at the chapter, they're up as high as they can get. And they're rejoicing. The children are rejoicing. The young people, the mothers, the fathers are rejoicing in the good things of God. And the Bible said it went abroad. It noised out. It got out even afar off. I just want to close with this tonight. The reach of this great joy. As a third century man was anticipating his death, he penned these last words to a friend. Here's what I want to say tonight, closing out, talking about this word great, talking about our country, talking about what's going on in the book of Nehemiah. He penned these words to his friend. He said, it's a bad world. I want to say tonight, it's a bad world. An incredibly bad world. He said, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised. They are persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them. I say hallelujah. It's a bad world, but we don't need to let a bad world rob us of our great joy. It's what makes me believe that that lady down there, that receptionist, she's seeing those patients day in and day out and day in and day out. Able to keep her head up, her chin up, trying to raise somebody else's spirits up. I just want to believe she's got a secret. And if she don't, I'll just get Brother Brian to get her phone number. If she's doing that good a job without Jesus, could you imagine what she could do with him? You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I believe God's letting us know it's a bad world, that we can have great joy right in the middle of it all. Amen. I tell you what's the truth tonight. There's not enough money in the world. Could you imagine being a politician in Washington, D.C.? I'm telling you, I'm about to get sick in my stomach. Would somebody help me? I can't think about politics too long or I'll throw up. But I tell you what I can do. I can think about praise. Praise him, Brother Ralph. Jesus, my blessed Redeemer. Hallelujah. I can think about the fact he's not forgotten us. He knows where we are. And it ain't going to be long. The book of Hebrews said, of whom the world is not worthy. It ain't going to be long. God's going to say, all right, youngins, come on home. That's enough. And I tell you, Brother David, I don't want him to catch me like this. I don't want him to catch me looking down and looking at my own feet. I want him to catch me looking up and looking at his feet, looking forward to the day. Have you ever one time thought that you thanked him the way that he ought to be thanked? I can't get to that place. I feel inadequate. I feel like there's just no way. But I got this idea that when I have a perfect body, nothing to cloud my mind anymore, no stupid thoughts running through my mind, I just got this idea, Brother Randy, that I'll get it done the way it ought to be done. And the way I've wanted to do it, Brother Johnny, ever since he saved me that night. Just want to, Mary, just, you can just see her, can't you? Down there at his feet with tears and her hair just wiping his feet. I tell you, he's worthy tonight. He's worthy. Want to just rejoice with great joy. I didn't take the time to look it up, and I'm certainly not an English scholar, especially if you ask Miss Eve. She'll tell you I'm not an English scholar. But it looks to me like, Brother John, a word like rejoice, whenever you repeat something, you say it again. We used to have this little joke. Pete and Repeat went across the river and Pete came back. Who was left? The other person say Repeat. You say Pete and Repeat went across the river and Pete came back. It takes some people a while to catch on, especially when their hair color is real, real light. I didn't say white. I said light. Anyway, I believe that rejoice might just mean, Brother Calder, play it again. Play it over. One of the reasons I think Brother Rick ought to go back to that night or that day, wherever it was when he saved us, when we play it over. Play it over. How many's ever had a CD and you just wanted to play it over and play it over and play it over? I don't know if you've ever got one of them girls that Brother Kevin's singing, but you ought to get you one. You ought to put it in your vehicle, amen. Just play it over and play it over. Them girls do a good job, amen. But I believe with rejoice, that's what I do. Just have joy over, joy again, joy again. It kind of goes along with Sunday night, don't it? Or was it Sunday morning? Or the Kevin preached Sunday, Sunday morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, what about that? Again, I say, rejoice. I'm just glad you come tonight. Amen. You think we can have a business meeting without a fight now? Brother Ralph said no. Amen. No, I'm aggravating him. Remember the Philippine missionary? He gave me a sword made out of a leaf spring on a car. He said, I give sword to pastor. May need in business meeting. Oh, I tell you what. I just thank God we don't even need a sword in a business meeting. Amen. Sword of the Spirit, that'll work. Amen. Appreciate y'all being here tonight.